Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, we're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got myself, Reginald Natatula, and John Lopez live at Texas Star Grill Shop. Figgy back at the studio. And Fig, I sent you a text, but I feel like I have to own up to it on air. I went to go ahead and fix that plate of wings that I promised you I'd bring you, and apparently the people done taking care of them, man.
It's all good.
They were great, though.
Well, I also had put this off.
They were
myself.
Delicious.
I was like, I'll get some later, and there was none later.
You know what? Like, I appreciate you trying to do that, because as long as I've been doing this show, nobody ever asked me, hey, you want me to bring you something back? So I appreciate it.
But I feel worse. Because
I feel attacked.
You probably shouldn't.
It's facts. It's
but,
facts.
I feel worse because...
You're the only person that ever said, you know what, you want some, I'll bring you some back.
Yeah, but here's the problem, right? It's almost worse because now you had expectation of getting some wings and you didn't get any, so my bad.
Oh, no, you're good, man. You're good. I had my Chipotle, so...
Chipotle. Hey, appreciate them coming through. All right, let's talk some more about the Texans. By the way, if you have about an hour to get out here and register for a pair of tickets to this Texans game on Sunday versus the Colts. So, yeah, get yourself in, register, because the winner will be drawn and we're given, but it's only during the time slot here.
And now, of course, you're going to have a shot, man.
Yeah, keep it locked right here at Sports Radio 610. The afternoon show, The Drive, will still have some tickets to give away on this Texans Ticket Tuesday. So you want to listen to the show and call in when they have the opportunity there. But you come in and get this shot here as well. That's available to you for one more hour. All right. I found this interesting. I actually already played one of the audio pieces that I was thinking about maybe playing here, which was Dan Clark, the center, kind of highlighting just all the protection things that a center has to have when he steps up to the line, and that he is, you know, when he's setting protection. And we talked a little bit about kind of the youthfulness of the two positions that you have that would typically handle those, whether it's center and quarterback, and how that might be factoring in. I would like to, you know, add another piece of, I don't know, evidence. I don't know why I'm pretending to be like a TV lawyer or something or whatever, but to the conversation. And this is from Jeff Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz obviously was a, you know, lineman in the league in the NFL for quite a while, and he's, you know, turned to media exploits, and he's been pretty good about this. And I saw him on his Twitter kind of breaking down one of the sacks that came off that left edge, the one that Dalton Schultz just kind of completely missed.
Yeah.
That ultimately led to, you know, CJ getting hit and not seeing that at all. He was breaking this down, and he was talking about kind of the tight end. The tight end pass protection scheme that they were utilizing. I need to find the right word because I need to make sure that I get this right. But, you know, the way that they were handling the tight end was like it was a static tight end is what he called it.
Okay.
Right? Because you have your five offensive linemen, that's going to be there. And when you have that tight end in line, you now have that guy not moving, not, you know, and in that line, that's where he has to block from. And this was how he was breaking down the issue that that pops up with the static tight end.
Teams don't do it very often. It locks you into rules that you can't get out of just because it's hard to adjust with a tight end on the ball. So you can see here, it's fine if they have six across, right? But they're going to end up only rushing four. And they basically have six guys to block three, and he's free. It just doesn't allow you the freedom to change many things. So because the tight end is staying in, the center has to slide away. If they just bring six, you're fine. But the Packers don't. They bring a fourth, essentially, but seven, the seventh guy. And you can't make adjustments like this.
The
The thing that's fascinating, and I saw that video.
Yeah, and it's very visual.
It's more of a visual thing.
I tried to give you a general idea of what's happening there, which is that you have six guys down on the line, but if they show six at the line, which, you know, the Packers were doing with that simulated blitz, they ultimately only brought three from those six that were there.
Yeah.
But if you're just looking at that six with the static tight end, you're like, all right, we could pick this up.
Mm-hmm.
When they drop three, and then there's only three coming there, and then there's somebody coming off the edge,
right.
The protection that you've set has no chance of working because that tight end doesn't have an opportunity to pick that guy up. He actually gave you a potential solution there if you wanted to play that.
Let's
as well.
Play it.
How you can make that particular play better with the as opposed to having the static tight end.
So if you want to make this protection better, you move the tight end off the ball. Now you're in a situation where you're basically going to have your slide probably away again. So 1, 2, 3. For 1, 2, 3, these guys over here are basically going to have a duel, right? They're going to block 2 of 3, whoever comes, 2 of 3, and the tight end's back in the backfield. He'll take essentially the fourth guy that ends up being 4 on this side, right? I mean, that's how you'd have to do it. It's just the static tight end protection. It just locks you in, and it's a great job by the Packers. And Stroud thinks, I think Stroud thinks they're probably locked, you know, probably good, right? You got 6 for 6. Don't see that guy. Boom.
Yeah. And so, like, in him breaking this down, and this is one play, right? I have to be careful in trying to extrapolate this out wider. However, you have to imagine that this would give you some level of indication of how you see that tight end in there, and he used the word locks you in.
Yeah.
And that is one of your rules that you are utilizing when you're pass protecting. And you saw Jeff Hafley absolutely use that against you to get a free rush of your quarterback. And I wonder if that does not highlight a way in which Bobby Slowick has opportunities to get help this protection.
Bingo. Because that's what I got out of it. Well, what I got out of that is forget the X's and O's and all this other stuff. The messaging is very clear. The messaging to me is one that says this is not the right concept to use. They are using the wrong blocking scheme, if you will, in that situation. And it also goes back to what D'Amico said. Communication, you know, everything is on the table. These are all tied together because what he's saying, coupled with what D'Amico is saying, is like, we got to change some stuff, man. And it might not just be personnel. That's what I get out of that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not the entirety of the pass protection scheme, rather, right? This is just your tight end being attached to that end of the line. But I think that this points to one of the things, and it ties in with one of the things that has become kind of like a common refrain from a lot of the folks on the station thus far, is like all these condensed formations where you have these guys in line, it just allows for teams to attack you in various different ways. Whereas I think if you have your tight end being dynamic, being off the line, having the opportunity, like we see with like Dare when he's in pass protection, to then pick up, you know, read what's happening and pick up free runners when necessary, right? And obviously it's not exactly that, right? There's more complexity to the pass protection. I think that you give yourself a better chance. And so even just that showed, I think, a glimpse into the ways in which we talk about the players. They need to make sure that they're communicating, that they're doing what needs to be done. But there's some instances where you can see, and to a trained NFL eye, trained offensive line NFL eye, he could look at and see that those players were screwed from the start based on what was happening there. And I think there's a role clearly to be played with Bobby in helping this pass protection be better.
And if you don't think the Indianapolis Colts are going to try the same thing, at least to see if they're what they've changed and how they've changed things, you're nuts. And see, that's where it becomes most, I guess, worrisome. Like the Texans have to change personnel. And we've talked about that. Where's the personnel going to be? But also the communication and the scheme and the blocking against that look. Because that look is going to – it might not work because the Texans might have made some changes, but they're going to give you that look defensively, 100%.
Yeah, and for anybody that was asking, that was a video that former offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz put on his Twitter account, right? And he'll do these kind of breakdowns from time to time. But again, just a small indication of the ways in which there's different ways that we can go about this with the play calling and with the way that you're actually utilizing your offense. And it was a thing that I brought up yesterday. I do wonder, is your coordinator giving you a schematic advantage at times?
That's what they're wondering.
And I think that needs to be something that we need to get a much better answer of, because
I'm guessing the Texans coaches did not have an off day today.
No, I'm guessing they didn't, because D'Amico Ryans made it abundantly clear. this needs to get fixed.
Yeah.
Everything's on the table. And obviously, we talked about, you know, the potential of personnel switches on the offensive line. We talked about various things, right? But also, some of this is like schematic switches mm-hmm. need to be on the table in some ways. And I think that's been something that we've clamored for in a lot of ways.
And I also go back to, like, could it be, you know, the fullback thing as well?
Agreed.
You know, who do you have playing fullback? I mean, and not only that, but I mean, how much are you giving away? If Dari is on the field, you know what he's in there for. By and large, is that the best option? Do you still want tight ends to be in that role?
Well, the tight end as fullback experiment feels like it hasn't gone over.
It has not worked
because those guys, like, I guess, and this is kind of generalizing. You imagine when you have a fullback, that's a dude who understands that he is in this game to go hit people.
Yeah,
right. There's no illusions as to, oh, well, I'm in here to do other things, unless you're like a use check or something, right? Your job is to go hit somebody, and it feels like at times it looks like the tight end sometimes can go in there, and they're not the only ones, right?
But yeah.
In this instance, it feels like the tight end sometimes can go in there, and it looks like, yeah, hitting people is a secondary part of my job, right? This is just something that other duties is assigned. When you're in that role as a fullback, you need to go and inflict pain and move people, and I feel like that might be something that having a nominal fullback would help. And I know it's not just by the fact of them being fullbacks, but I think it points to the idea of sometimes the mentality. Again, we've talked about this a little bit. Being able to go and enforce your will. It's something that I think we mentioned earlier in the season that I've been fascinated by is offensive linemen typically running plays more than they like passing plays. Because in running plays, you're on the front foot. You can go move people. And it feels like this offensive line trends towards more enjoying the pass protection, which is a question I have about, like, are they willing to get to themselves in the mental headspace to go and affect what's happening here?
No, that's fair. So let me ask you, where do you think the most obvious change is going to be then? And I said this earlier in the show. The most obvious change that you want to make right now, if you're just basing it on grades and that type of thing, is, oh, okay, let's just change Kenyon Green. Let's put Jared Patterson in there at guard or whatever. I don't know, like, all these things that he's addressing, all the things that D'Amico is saying, really don't have a lot to do with Kenyon Green.
No.
You know, they really don't. So it's like, you don't want it to be a Band-Aid. I'm curious, and I don't think it will be. I'm just saying, like from the outside looking in, it's like, oh, that guy's not playing well. He stinks. Let's replace him. That's not going to fix these things that we're talking about right now.
No, I don't believe so. Like, again, if you listen to D'Amico Ryans, if you believe D'Amico, because sometimes I think some people can wonder if D'Amico is kind of selling you.
But he was direct on this.
But you listen to D'Amico, and one of the things that he talks about, and we played the audio earlier, the idea that, hey, man, these are things that there's things that need to be fixed, but these things are fixable.
Yeah.
And that he mentioned that they've done these things. You've seen them do it before, right? And sometimes that can be a thought process that gets you into a trap. You've seen it happened before, which means it can happen again, but I don't think that he's wrong in this regard. We talked about it a few times this week, the fact that everybody on that offensive line, you've seen them handle their responsibilities. It just seems like they're not doing it consistently,
and not both ways.
Yeah,
they've all had issues, they've all had good moments, etc. So it's like, and it's not scapegoating, because Kenyon Green has not been playing well, but what I'm saying is, if you think that's the fix, it's not. At least not from what we've seen lately.
Yeah, so I found that to be interesting. Appreciation to Jeff Schwartz, because, I mean, offensive line is such a is such a very particular thing that you almost have to have been involved in to get, like, the real great perspective on what's happening there.
Yeah.
And so I found it really interesting when he broke down kind of what was happening on that particular pass protection play where you just completely missed the guy on the edge. And I know it's easy to be like, hey, Dalton Schultz missed what he was supposed to do. That was the actual pass protection scheme.
Yeah.
So hopefully you get better there. And the inexperience of Bobby Slowick, right? You're going to have to find a way to find some experience there and figure have some more answers for what possibly teams can throw at them. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're still broadcasting from Texas Star Grill Shop on 59 and Shepherd.
And by the way, just real quick, we've had some texts because they're used to the Ticket Tuesday.
That's right.
In the 12 o'clock hour. We are on site.
Yeah.
Is where you get your chance. And people have put their names in the box for the Texans bullpen tickets. Today, you got to be on site. Drop your name in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking at the box right now. Plenty of people have added in, and you still have an opportunity to for the next about 40 minutes. But coming up next, it's about that time where we turn it over to Fig for the mixtape. Figgy, what we got?
Man, so in honor of my iffy customer service yesterday and Halloween being next week, I came across some horror stories when it comes to bad customer service. 713-572-4610. If you got some bad customer service stories, send them in.
All right. You won't get no bad customer service at Texas Star Grill Shop, but we'll talk about all that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. And just in case, I'm going to do a little quick recap on I guess my horror story from yesterday.
Was it that bad?
Recap it real quick.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. But so I walked into a restaurant. It was like a sports bar type of spot. And as soon as I walked in, these two employees kind of, they stopped talking. Everybody got silent. And they looked at me like they just saw a ghost.
Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I almost made an executive decision to just act like I left something in the car, just go somewhere else. But I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna stand my ground. So the guy took my order, and he was talking really low, like he didn't really want to take the order. Huh. So I kept saying, "Huh? Wait, what you say? Sorry, what you say?" And so it was a flavor on the menu that I had a question about. And I asked him, like, "Hey, are these three different flavors, or is this all in one?" And he was like, "Man, I don't even know."
So did he look like he was under the influence of some sorts?
Not really.
Okay,
He did look a little laid back, but he was just like,
I don't even know.
He was just not trying to be at work today. Okay, yeah. I get it.
So I'm like, a word? Okay. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I felt like I was, you know, like about to jump off a bridge. So I'm like, screw it, I tried. You know, I don't know what it is, but I tried. And he was like, "I don't even know we got that."
Oh, okay, thanks for the help.
And so I'm like, okay. I'm like, you know what, let me get this flavor instead then. Just call it a day, man. And so the food was good and all that stuff, but he looked like he did not give a damn. So in honor of that, if you got some horror stories when it comes to bad customer service, send them in. 713-572-4610. But I got a couple. I'm a read off of this paper a couple different horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna try to make this sound a little scary, man.
Oh, here we go. Okay. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, in the spirit of Halloween. Mm-hmm. So here we go. We're going to talk about the cashier who hated questions.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. I think that was the one I kind of dealt with yesterday because he didn't even give a damn about my question. A woman at a grocery store asked the cashier to price check an item. The cashier rolled her eyes and sighed loudly. When the woman asked about a second item, the cashier threw her hands up in the air and said, "Do you want to do my job for me?"
Oh, man. Good God.
Oh, man.
The customer, stunned, asked to speak to a manager.
Okay.
When the manager arrived, he said, "Yeah, she likes that. She's like that sometimes. Sorry." No further action were taken, and the woman left feeling both confused and disrespected.
Yeah, that's tough. That is, yep. That's definitely one of them horror stories, because it's like, am I disturbing you from doing your job? Like, I don't understand. Like, now, there are some people that are really annoying, mm-hmm. to people that are working.
They do too much.
Yeah. Especially exactly when it comes to the simple questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the things that's real evident.
Yeah.
Like, how much this cost? Well, what does it say on the sticker? $9.99? $9.99 is what it costs.
Hey,
right? Like that one? See, look, I'm looking to these gentlemen that work at TechStar Grill Shop, and they're giving
me... Can you come down on that? No, it says right there, $9.99.
Or the people that's like, hey, is this a grill? Is this a barbecue grill?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah. Yes, this will...
We're in the right place for these types of questions.
Right.
When it comes to...
So I understand it in those circumstances, but like, yeah, hey, can you ring this up for me, please? It doesn't have a price on it.
On the other hand, there's a counterpoint. Like, if you are at, let's say, McDonald's.
Say that one more time for me.
McDonald's.
I don't like the way you said that. That's weird. Okay,
did you say McDonald's?
Yeah.
No, it's McDonald's.
I say McDonald's.
It's McDonald's.
Wait, what?
McDonald's.
All right, I don't know.
Three different ways to say that. Okay.
What is happening?
We're getting off track.
Okay.
But if you're in McDonald's, all right, and you start asking about menu items, it's a freaking McDonald's. You know what the menu items are.
Fair enough.
And people do that, and they're like, oh, is this? No, it's McDonald's. It's a quarter pounder.
Or how about the person at the bar that's want to taste every beer?
Exactly.
Sample every beer. It's like,
or the ice cream salon.
That's a heady place. That's a heady play, man.
You get two samples at an ice cream store.
Who said?
I did. You get two little tiny spoons.
You don't work
If you can't decide after two... You're just getting
they're
free ice cream.
They're trying to get some free ice cream. Sometimes you got to work the system.
No. You get the two little tiny spoons. That's it.
You a hater.
No. I'm keeping things moving.
That's crazy, man.
I look out for the people that are working in retail.
I mean, absolutely. I understand what you're saying. I get that.
Can I have another? Go to that ice cream store, yogurt store, get five little spoons of ice cream.
Then people don't care. It's
You're
not their ice cream.
You're taking advantage.
No, that's not their ice cream.
Make a decision.
They get paid minimum wage. They don't care about that ice cream. They'll give you the whole thing.
The funny part is like, can I try the vanilla bean? It's like, you know what vanilla tastes like.
Yeah, it's vanilla.
Like, it's one thing if it's like an exotic flavor or something. Can I try the chocolate?
Yeah, it's chocolate. Move on.
All right, I'm going to keep it moving with another horror story. And this is not related to Clint Sterner, by the way. I seen him tweet.
Oh, disclaimer?
Yeah, so Clint, I guess he had a horror story when it comes to going to the barbershop.
Oh, I did see that. Thank you for reminding me. Hey, I got to talk to him about that.
He paid more money than me to get a haircut.
That's crazy.
And didn't like, that's the worst, man.
I still remember exactly how much it cost. That's how much it was. I was like, that much money?
Yeah. I'm like, man, that's wild. But anyway, here's a... the hair salon whore. A woman went to a hair salon with a photo of a simple haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're taking a picture.
And asked the stylist if she can achieve it.
She cannot.
The stylist nodded confidently and got to work. Midway through the cut, the woman noticed that things were going very wrong.
Yeah.
The stylist had clearly cut too much hair and was now freestyling. When a woman asked about it, the stylist responded, "I know what I'm doing. Don't worry.
Oh no, babe.
By the end of the cut, the woman's hair was choppy, a choppy mess.
You're darn
that
right
looked
it was.
Nothing like the photo. When she complained, the stylist said, Well, it's too late now. It still charged full price.
All right, that's on the person going in there, isn't it?
No.
Nah, man.
You take a picture. You take a picture into a hair salon and say, I want to look like this. First of all, you probably look nothing like the model, all due respect.
I'm not buying that. That's a lot of people
have different shapes of their faces, their heads, whatever it may be in your appearance, and you say, I want that.
Lopez, when you take a picture in, you understand that it's not going to look exactly like the person in there, but you're asking, are they capable of doing the, you know,
no, 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 that part, you should say, you should come clean. And but a lot of times in retail, they're, you know, what do they say? You know, just make it work and don't say no. Just say, you know, we can do this or whatever.
I ain't heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is the thing, right, with the hairstylist, right? I think this is where it's a little bit different than where you're getting at is. Mm-hmm. That person is going to wear that hairstyle, and when somebody asks, where did you get that hairstyle, they're going to put your name on it, right? Yeah. So you're going to have to be able to, like, whatever you put out there, you want it to be reflected well on you. So if you're like, hey, I can do this, and then you do poorly, they're going to tell them that you did, to tell people you did poorly.
I understand, and that part is probably true. But anytime you're taking a picture in to get your hair done, I think it's buyer beware.
Yeah, at that point. You are trusting that person to tell you the truth at that point, though. But yeah, I do hate it, though. Like, you would think that there's some places that are sacred, like a hair salon / a barbershop. Like, can you do this? And you can't. It's fine. You know, we'll find something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually dealt with something like that one time. When I first moved here, I was in the stage that we're looking for a barbershop. And I went to a barber, and I wanted some designs in my head. Mm-hmm. And it might have been the same person now that I think about it, the one that took my order yesterday. But I asked him about this design. He like, man, I don't even feel like doing no designs today, man.
That's real.
I'm just like, okay. I'm like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was going to pay you, but I'm like, all right. But so he ended up putting some little janky lines in my head trying to be cool. I'm just like, man, I'm like, you could keep that, man. All right, so my next story is about the rude receptionist.
All right.
Okay.
A man went to the front desk of a hotel to check in for his reservation. The receptionist was on the phone and did not acknowledge him for a solid 10 minutes.
Hey,
yeah. Yeah, that's a pet peeve.
When she finally hung up, she snapped. What do you want?
Oh, no.
When he explained that he was checking in. She sighed and said, I'm really busy right now. Can you come back later? When he insisted that he needed his room, she huffed, gave him a key, and then said, good luck finding it yourself, without any directions or instructions.
She needs to be fired.
You calling the manager, aren't you?
Yeah, she needs to be fired. Like, I'm busy working? Oh, you mean being a receptionist at a hotel?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the whole word includes the word reception.
Yeah, that is true.
That's one figgy. That's one figgy. She needs to go. She needs to go. That's someone probably doing some stuff on personal level, and you put her out.
And the worst part about that is with that particular situation, you get best results by also then raising the level of your snark or what have you. Right, and I'm not that guy. I'm gonna be more passive in that situation than just kind of wait and be a little passive.
I probably would not be.
Yeah, I know you would. that came across very quickly when you say that she needed to go.
All right,
she needs to go.
Yeah, so this is the last story about the lazy waiter.
Okay,
at a family restaurant. A group of friends ordered appetizers and drinks. Mm-hmm. The waiter took their time. Oh, the waiter took their order.
Okay.
But after 45 minutes, no food or drinks had arrived. Mm-hmm. When they flagged the waiter down, he said, oh, yeah, I forgot to put that in. Instead of rushing their order, he just shrugged and said, it'll be another 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
When the friends complained to the manager, the waiter, who was standing nearby, interrupted and said, it's not a big deal. You're not starving, right?
Oh, no.
The friends left without ever receiving their food.
That's the move. Leave. That's the move right there. We've all done that, right? You get into a restaurant, it's just horrible, and whether they're busy or they're lazy or whatever the reason, and it's just not happening, you're in that 30, 45 minutes, that's the move. Just leave. You don't have to cause a big scene.
Yeah, and the tough thing about it is I understand it from some circumstances where someone on the YouTube is talking about it. They got a bad review from a couple that walked in on a busy night. Like, I do hate the people that don't acknowledge, hey, when it's busy, the service is going to be a little different, right? Especially understanding that sometimes, you know, there's the staff can be a little overworked. As soon as he said, y'all not hungry, right? I was like, oh, no, you messed it up.
Yeah, no, you leave.
You messed it up, bro.
Yeah, you leave.
I don't even know if you were joking or not, but it did not work. That is not what that hungry person wants to hear in that moment at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do y'all stand as far as going into a restaurant, getting seated, and how long it take for the waiter to actually come over? Like, what's your time limit to just...
Depends on the restaurant, right?
...to get up and leave. Yeah.
Like a regular old restaurant, whatever, you know, Thursday, Friday, you're just going out, you know, with your family, your girl, whatever. It's got to be pretty quick. I feel like it's got to, and define quick, you know, a couple minutes, you know, everybody's going to be busy. But at a nicer restaurant, sometimes they want you to just sit and enjoy and whatever.
Yeah, I'm chilling on that. Like, it doesn't hurt my feelings all that much, because if I'm, like, really hungry, I'm like, that's on me. I probably should have been here before I was definitely hungry.
Yeah.
It's when you get negligent that I really get to be, it gets to be a problem for me, right? So I understand if it's real situational, right?
Yes,
if it's
exactly.
busy, it's cool. I'm not tripping. If it ain't nobody in here and you over there on your phone, yeah, we have issues.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. No, I kind of agree with that. It was a couple times where I was sitting there for about 15 minutes without saying, hey, what do you want to drink or anything that?
At least bring the water.
There's times I haven't even been talked to where I'm just like, you know what? I don't never take it personal. I just kind of look at it like maybe this is a sign.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, maybe I need to go somewhere else. Maybe it's because the worst thing that can happen is if you do say something and then you get the food and all that stuff and it's not good and you spending a lot of money to be unhappy.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm like, you know what? Let me go somewhere where I know what type of service I'm going to get.
Exactly.
And I'm going to be satisfied with the food.
All right. I love that. I appreciate the production value on it. Somebody said from the 713, can y'all give Figgy some lozenges? His voice sounded a little scratchy.
Oh, yeah. No, my voice is done
that
now.
Time of year.
I'm done for the day.
It's that time of year.
You sacrificed for the mixtape.
I'm going to sound like Doc Rivers.
Oh, man. You are into the NBA spirit as we're heading into the first game of the NBA season tonight. So that's the mixtape. You catch it 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on In the Loop. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the Drive, Clint and Ron. And before we get there, let's talk about some of the bold predictions for this NBA season. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 for the last time on this Texans Ticket Tuesday. We're gearing up to hand off to our guys, Clint and Ron of The Drive. They will keep the Texans Ticket Tuesday going. They'll have some tickets available during the course of their program as well, so you want to hang on. Plus, in addition to the fantastic programming that they'll be doing, a lot of appreciation for us here for all the fine folks that have come through and said hello to us.
Yeah, man.
There's been numerous folks, and all of them have made sure to sign up for the opportunity to win the pair of tickets here as well. Plus, people have picked up some OG sauce and some various things, seasoning, some things to get themselves going.
Somebody walked out with a grill. They got 10% off.
Did they really? I missed it.
Yeah, somebody walked out with a grill.
Did you help them to the car?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
But shout out also to the folks here. You know, Mark Herrera.
Yes.
Juan Castro, Chandler Brown, working hard. Even though I think I might have been trying to sell some more than them on occasion.
Wow. But that's okay, but they agree. They agree, though. All
agree
right.
with that.
Yeah. It's been a fun time out there, a lot of hospitality. But, yeah, man, Texas Star Grill Shops is the place for you to stop in. Make sure that you keep yourself grill ready. In fact, Lopez got some shopping to do once we're done
here.
Yeah,
go straight to it.
Once we fully hand over to the Drive. Before we get there, and Figgy, I don't know if you've gotten a handle on this just yet. We mentioned earlier in the show that a couple of Rockets got their extensions ahead of this season that starts today. And Jalen Green Alperen Şengün, they were out practicing today, and our guy basketball Spo, who we'll talk to tomorrow, he was out there talking to them. A few things that they said, but one of the things that I really found interesting was from Jalen Green, who he was a focal point, especially as we got to this extension deadline that happened yesterday, on what's happened with him, right? Like, where is he going to be? And he kind of set an interesting timeline for what's going to be really, really insightful as to how this team moves.
I said to the coach the other day, I said, you know, this was his first four games.
Yeah.
Set the tone for the season. I think if we do that, you know, as a team, we're going to be playing hard, we're going to play fast and aggressive, and just, you know, being the dogs that we is. But if we get them first four wins out the gate, you know, that just lets everybody know what we're doing this year.
So if you didn't hear them clearly, they were obviously at practice. The first four games are going to set the tone for the season is what he went for. So that's Rockets, Grizzlies, a pretty good team that has an opportunity to be a contender again now that they're fully healthy with their complement. Spurs, which I don't know exactly where they're going to be.
I don't think they know where they're going to be.
And that's a great point, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have some figuring out to do early. Mm-hmm. Wembanyama getting a lot better, but then also Chris Paul coming in to add a little bit of the focus.
Sochan is coming along a little bit.
And actually, it's a double feature with the Spurs, in fact. So that's going to be a really insightful thing. Mm-hmm. You have a Hornets team that's not a great team, but it's going to be a little interesting in the East, like to start with. Then the Grizzlies, it's going to be a nice challenge. The Spurs feel like they're not exactly on the same level, but they're in that same kind of category of teams trying to find their way up from the bottom in the West. I don't disagree with them. I think that that'll be really insightful as to what this Rockets team is.
Look, we all know how much changes over 82 games, but I think generally speaking, the Rockets are at a place where they can feel good about the tone they set in the first 4, 6, 8 games, because they're no longer a rising team or an unknown team or a team that is still trying to figure it out. They know what they've got. They brought the guys back, you know, from last year. They see what is, you know, Jalen Green is capable of, as he was at toward the end of the season last year. They know it. You know, they've added Steven Adams, who, by the way, I think I saw Steven Adams might be questionable for tomorrow with some sort of injury.
I missed that.
That's neither here nor there. They kind of know who they are and what they are. They're just going to see how much better they get. So they're no longer that rising team or that team that's a little bit of an unknown. So I could see where he's coming from on that.
All right. So, they get started tomorrow, 7 p.m. against the Hornets. In fact, I probably need to see about going out to that game.
You should.
I think about it.
Yeah.
It's a season opener. It only happens once a year, right? But
you sure?
Season opener, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think. I'll double check here in a second.
Yeah.
But season opener for the entirety of the league starts tonight. So with that being the case, I kind of wanted to get your thought on some of these bold predictions that the Ringer put together for the season. Let's start with one that's probably the least bold. The Boston Celtics will repeat as NBA champs.
Look, I mean, it just makes sense. Their coach is something. He was saying something yesterday that not even worth getting into. He's just a trip, man. I think it makes sense. I think the East is pretty set, isn't it? Like at the top. Like, not a lot of big, like, oh, watch out for that. I mean, they're all saying that. But, you know, you're talking Celtics, Knicks, and Sixers. And the Sixers are probably going to collapse at the end.
It's quite possible. Yeah. You already have Paul George with, like, a hyperextension injury. So injury's already popping.
Milwaukee is in there, too.
Milwaukee is interesting. I don't know exactly what to do with that. Victor Wembanyama, we're talking about him. You see him twice in the first four games. The Rockets will. He'll be unanimous Defensive Player of the Year. You buying that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I am. Like, as many great defensive players as there are out there, you know, there's certainly some here in Houston. What he did, you know, just with the world coming at him so fast last year was pretty dang incredible. And he is next level shot blocking and can do other things defensively as well.
Yeah, and one of the things I always think about is, and it often happens in the college space, but it also happens in the professional space, is once they get that first off-season program.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was really good last year.
And he got the entire offseason to continue to build on that frame, because he was still wiry and lanky at that. You get him some more strength in there too.
Are
that's
you
scary? Yeah, I think so. Man,
I think he
came on so strong in the way that he handled things there. How about this? Anthony Edwards will win MVP. We're getting bolder, aren't we?
That's a little bolder right there.
That's a guy who you could see him do kind of the star things, but now if he wants to get into that superstar category, I think. being the guy that no matter what defense the team throws at you, you can do that. Plus, if he can continue to play make off of the great play that he has individually, I think that's where he becomes a real issue. And I know you're pointing to the ESPN
cover. You saw that, right?
Yeah, that they did, which was a mirror. It was Anthony Edwards and Justin Jefferson, two really high-level players in Minnesota. They remade an old photo of Randy Moss and Kevin Garnett where they did the jersey swap thing. Yeah, man, they're stepping into those types of roles, which is high praise for these guys. And Anthony Edwards has an opportunity to step into that kind of high level of play as well this season. I don't know if I'm ready to fully get there for MVP. But
yeah,
I think give me MVP finalists, I'll go there.
I could go there as well.
Let's see some other potential bold predictions when it comes to this. Let me see if I can get one that I really like. How about Alex Caruso for Sixth Man of the Year?
He's always in there. He's always in the hunt lately, anyway. He's a fan favorite. He's in a good spot now. That's a bit of a reach, right? Sixth man?
I think it could happen, man. Yeah. Although I think he might start, so that might make the Sixth Man of the Year case a little
tough.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about that.
That dude is incredible defensively, and I think that Thunder team will also give him a lot of focus there. But it would be a little bit of a stretch also, because Sixth Man of the Year often goes to the person who to the guys who
a lot of points
off the bench. It's one of those awards that we don't do too many smart things about. Sometimes some of these other awards we'll get it to advanced analytics. We get real caveman with Sixth Man of the Year. Who came off the bench and got buckets?
Yeah,
is what we typically go. But he's going to be a really good auxiliary player, I guess, with all due respect to him.
Well, he's carved out a nice career.
A real nice niche. You saw him pretty close at A&M.
Well, he carried him when they went to, I guess, Sweet 16, Final 8, something like that back in the day.
Yeah, if you can't tell, I personally, and I believe Lopez as well, excited for the NBA season.
Yeah.
But the Rockets don't get started tomorrow. Today. They get going tomorrow against the Hornets at 7 p.m. But what is getting going also, our fellas of the Drive, it's Clint and Ron, they're getting themselves ready to have a program. And I'm super excited for them to get going, but then also to find out what the hell happened with Clint on a couple of things. One of them is the car. I seen on Clint's Twitter that he had the car towed.
What was that?
Well, it was a Tesla.
I know, but did he not plug it in?
That's what I want to find out. And I want to find this out, and I need to double check if my memory serves me correctly, but the number 72 is stuck in my head because Clint Sterner supposedly had a haircut horror story that caused him to spend $72 on a haircut, which is not the most that I've heard, but it seems like he wasn't like the super happiest with it though. And so those are the things that I'm super excited to talk about. And obviously when we're talking about hair, I think Ron has an opportunity to pile in here as well, because people have been asking why his hair is still blonde, and I think it works. Stop making fun of Ron, because he needs to embrace it. It works.
Big commitment,
him.
Man.
It looks good.
No, I've said that too. I think it looks good, but boy, what a commitment that is to a bet.
Yeah, man.
That's too much.
Fig, when you let me know, because I have big questions to ask our fine gentleman there as to what's happening there. But yeah, excited for what's happening there. Did you see that the Astros are hiring a third base coach?
Yeah, who also is an infield coach, known for that out of Arizona, and so it makes sense now with Gary Pettis. Gone.
You think that's causal? I think that this is.
No, I think he wanted this guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been in Arizona, I believe, 10 years, and is more of an infield coach as well as third base coach. So maybe that's, you know, they've had some defensive issues.
Especially in the infield. So
yeah.
Okay. Look, I don't know if this is one of those things that you hire him and you go, okay, now that's fixed, but you hope that you see better defensive play in the infield, especially coming next season. All right. It's time to get answers. And Ron, I love what you got going with the hair, but I got to ask Clint some questions, because it sounded like Clint had a pretty rough day yesterday between the car and the hair. What are you? First of all, you good, Clint?
Yeah, I'm fine, boys. It was definitely a rough day.
Did you try unplugging the Tesla and plugging it back in?
No. For all my smart ass, it was shut down. It wasn't out of juice. It was literally had been plugged up all weekend. But yeah, just one more horror story with a Tesla, with these electric vehicles, man. It's just, you know, there's no neighbor that's a mechanic, the mechanic that's about 4 or 5 miles away, you know, getting him to swing by or maybe even towing it down there. Boy, it is just, when something goes wrong, it is an expensive just
I can just hear it.
It's ridiculous.
Clinton is hot.
I mean, there's nothing.
He's been hot about this.
There's nothing convenient about it, man. I mean, there's nothing convenient about it. It is an absolute mess.
It does make fart noises.
It will make fart noises for the kids. There are games you can play when you're charging it and that kind of thing. But yeah, there's just. You know, I feel like I got somewhat hoodwinked. You know, everybody talking. My wife really wanted one, and everybody out there is talking about it. And you know, America's telling you that we're going to go more electric, and we'll make it convenient for everybody. And it's a thing to do, and yada yada yada. And I finally said, you know what? You want one? Hell, do it. Whatever. Well, I somehow ended up with it, and it didn't become a problem until I ended up with it.
So I don't know if this is like the last legs of it. However, if it happens to be, is it just going to be like a step back to hybrid, or are we going full Hemi on this?
Oh no, I'm going to get the gassiest vehicle I can possibly get.
He's going to get a diesel.
You're right. I'm coming in here in a full blown diesel. I don't want nothing shutting down at the damn at the light. I don't want it. I got to plug in. I want, if I run out of gas, let me run out of gas. Bring me a tank.
He's going to get a dually truck. With a diesel.
Yeah, to hell with that electric movement. It ain't happening, boys. It ain't happening fast enough for your boy here.
I see you. And Ron, real quick before we go, I need your expert assessment. Was it worth $72, that haircut?
He ain't got to look at it, tell you that answer.
I can't see it.
It was actually 67, and I tipped the poor guy $5 because I felt bad. But when they threw 67 around there,
where the hell did you go?
The only place that was open on a Monday.
Oh yeah, that was your first
mistake. I had TV. I had to film TV commercials today, and so I didn't have no choice.
Well, that's TV money. Tell them to put that on top.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll find a way to write it off. You better believe that.
$67.
Hey, boys.
Whatever happened to 15?
Whip that screen around there and asking for a tip. $15, $20, or $25, not percent.
I got a problem.
I said, no, custom, I'll give you $5 because I like it.
Hey, Reg, this didn't include the face. That's what I got.
What?
Problem.
It didn't include the top either. I told him not to touch the top because I didn't know him. I didn't know. I said, don't touch the top. Just edge me up. Just edge me up. $72.
Were these people black?
He was, yes.
Oh, you got robbed.
She was not.
That's what you should have said. Thank you for telling us. You got robbed is what happened. They thought you were the mark. You might. Hey, let me know if we got to roll back in there and get your money. You got robbed.
Hey, Red, don't know about that, dog.
You're probably right, but you did get robbed. I appreciate you stopping me because I was wilding there. You know what? I need to just
Red
go ahead.
Said he's about to roll up in there.
We'd be safe doing that if y'all want to do it. I wouldn't lead you in a bad situation. We'd be okay, strong arm.
I got to let you guys get to work. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. Much appreciation to everybody here at Texas Grill Shop. But now, right now, the drive is live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.